There is a lot of uncertainty facing migrants who make it to the U.S.-Mexico border, especially families with children. Under the Trump administration's zero-tolerance policy, thousands of families have been separated at the border. In fact, according to a recent report by Amnesty International, thousands more families were separated than the government has previously disclosed. Brian Griffey is a researcher at Amnesty International.
Imagine this. A Brazilian grandmother named Maria flees death threats by a police officer who was involved with criminal groups in Brazil. She had a developmentally disabled grandson over whom she had legal custody. We visited her in detention in El Paso. She had been there for almost a year after simply seeking protection at the U.S.-Mexico border. After a day or two in detention, they separated them from each other, and they remained separated for most of the next year. The grandson was put into the custody of the Connecticut State Children's Services, and they'd even sought to strip her of her legal guardianship. This is clearly not in the best interest of the child, and it was something that was done clearly also to compel her to give up her asylum claim and go back to Brazil. A few years ago, this would have been a clear-cut asylum case.
We'll get back to the case of Maria and her grandson, but first I wanted Griffey to tell us about the new Amnesty International report.
Basically, what we know is that the Department of Homeland Security has not made public an official count on the families and the number of children affected. What we hear from authorities are kind of a patchwork of conflicting statistics. The Department of Homeland Security, from April 19 to August 15 alone, separated over 6,000 family members who'd crossed the border irregularly. But from the numbers they shared with us, it appears that numbers about 20-25% higher at a minimum. Even when they provided us with these statistics, they couldn't tell us whether they were talking about the number of individuals or the number of families they separated. That's a big difference. They've also pointed back to a class action lawsuit under which there had been about 2,500-2,600 families that were separated. But it appears that about 800 other people were separated beyond what they'd disclosed under this class action lawsuit.
Your report lays out three ways that the Trump administration policies affect people coming to the U.S. for asylum. One of those is obviously family separation. What are the others?
Well, the reason that the Trump administration was separating families was not just to be cruel. It wanted to detain all asylum seekers indefinitely. If you're detaining refugees only based on their migration status and they don't present any kind of risk to society or risk of fleeing, that constitutes arbitrary detention under international law. And then right now, along the entire length of the U.S.-Mexico border, the Trump administration is pushing thousands of asylum seekers back into Mexico and telling them that it's safe for them to wait there. We also found that the U.S. authorities have been encouraging Mexican immigration officials to deport those asylum seekers back to the very countries where they fled persecution or threats of death. And that's flatly illegal under both U.S. law and international law. So there are these three interlocking policies. And since we released our report, both Republican and Democratic members of Congress have come to us asking for more information. We're hopeful that as we get closer to the appropriations process, that Congress can use the power of the purse to compel the Department of Homeland Security to be more forthcoming.
Back now to Maria, the Brazilian grandmother seeking asylum in the U.S. with her grandson. Brian Griffey says Amnesty International was present at Maria's final immigration hearing, and it wasn't looking good for her.
We actually witnessed as the judge sought to compel her in the courtroom to give up her asylum claim in order to be reunited with her grandson with special needs before being deported back to Brazil. The implication was all asylum claims are meritless, right? So he's saying, we want to close all the loopholes, but we can reunite you with your grandson so you don't get deported without him. So what you see here is a clear threat of permanently separating this grandmother from her grandson at the threat of being deported without him. And what we saw in terms of both the grandmother and the grandson is that the long-term consequences are grave. She actually had a medical emergency where she had to be rushed to the hospital because her health deteriorated so much from the mental anguish of being separated from her grandson with special needs. And she presented this in court, and still they prolonged her detention. Finally, actually, it was only when a congressperson, Beto O'Rourke, got involved that she was released and able to go reunite with her grandson.
Where are Maria and her grandson today?
They're in Connecticut. He's still under state custody. She was seeking to move from weekend visits to having guardianship over him again, but she has to go through the bureaucratic hoops while she also appeals her asylum claim. I spoke with her a few weeks ago, and she said, you know, I need to go to a psychologist. The scars are deep. I forget what I was saying. I can't sleep at night. It was all the symptoms that I've identified when I've worked in war zones. But she told me, you know, that when she first saw him, he wasn't being taken care of properly. He was in this heavily air-conditioned room, just shivering, saying, you know, mommy, mommy, why did you leave me here? And that every time they leave each other after a visit all day, they both go through this suffering because they're reliving the moment of their separation.
That was Amnesty International's Brian Griffey.